Well, it's just gone 17 minutes past 7. You are listening to Sabah Muslim on Radio Islam International. We continue with our focus on the elections, and we also try to assist you to understand the different processes, especially when it comes to local government elections a bit better. So by the time you go to the ballot and you're casting your vote, you know how these things work. Joining us once again on the line, we have Executive Director at Asri, Muhammad Kaji. Muhammad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah khair for having me this morning.
We're asking our listeners, what do they enjoy most about cold weather? What do you enjoy most about cold weather?
I enjoy the rain, to be honest. You know, last night I was telling my wife, I'm waiting for the thunderstorm to come. You know, eventually it came later in the morning, alhamdulillah.
And do you have any great cold weather memories?
If you ask my mother, she'll remember me running out in the rain when the rain started coming down, you know, and coming back into the house looking wet. but I guess I should have warned mothers to close the ears of their kids while I was about to say that.
Now, let's talk a little bit about municipal demarcations, the history of it and how it works, because many people say, okay, I'm in this particular ward, but, you know, who determined that, you know, what the parameters of the ward would be and how do these wards work and that kind of thing. Can you enlighten us a bit in that regard?
So, municipal demarcations are mandated to what's called the Municipal Demarcation Board.
Mm-hmm.
The Municipal Demarcation Board is established by a few pieces of legislation, the Constitution of 1996, our new Constitution. And I think part of this also goes back to our history of transition, which I'll speak to a little bit after saying a few things about the Municipal Demarcation Board. It's an independent body. They have about 8 board members, and the mandate of the board is that they should be independent. They shouldn't demarcate board municipal boundaries in a way that favors any particular party. You know, the usual requirements in terms of independent authorities to function in a way where they aren't politically influenced or influenced by any interest groups. So initially, post-apartheid, post-1996 constitution, we actually had in the region of 1,200 municipalities or municipal entities. And the Municipal Demarcation Board, once it was formed in 1998, between the period of 1999 and 2000, then moved to start consolidating those local authorities, the 1,200, down to about 840 or so. And then post that period, in around about 2000, these were further consolidated to 284, which is where we stand today at approximately 284 municipal boundaries around the country, which includes 47 district municipalities, 231 local municipalities, and 6 metropolitan municipalities as it currently stands.
So if people want to understand in terms of the ward that they stay in, where do they go to for further information, the demarcation board?
Yeah, so there's a website. The demarcation board has a website where the information for the current election is available and previous elections. So if they want to see which boundaries are the boundaries to their wards, the IEC website also has maps of the election, because the way the process works is that the demarcation board, and the website is demarcation.org.za, by the way. Mm-hmm. So the demarcation board, once the municipal boundaries have been set, they then hand that over to the IEC. Based on that, the IEC then takes the voters' roll and finalizes and closes the voters' roll, which took place a couple of weeks ago after final registration. And the demarcation board would then take the numbers of registered voters in one of those municipalities, and based on a formula that the Minister of Local Government determines, would then start determining how many ward councillors each municipality should have. So they effectively, based on the number of ward councillors, then divide that by 2, obviously for what we spoke about last week, which was the proportional representation versus the direct councillors. And once they have, based on the formula that the ministers provided, the number of wards that a specific municipality should have, they then start doing what's called ward demarcation. And ward demarcations are then what impact us as immediately, because they if based on a formula, say for example the minister changes the formula to increase the number of ward councillors, then the number of wards would obviously have to increase in a municipality, and that happens between elections, so that, you know, the public has an opportunity to participate in the demarcations before those wards are actually then finalized.
So just to understand it better, by means of an example, all these areas that many of our listeners come from, Lanesia, Roshni, Zadville, Johannesburg, they would all be made up of different wards, but all of that falls under the municipality of Johannesburg.
Correct. So Zadville would fall under Mogale City, okay, if I'm not mistaken. So they are municipality that includes former Krugersdorp. And Johannesburg is a metropolitan municipality, while Mogale City is not. So Johannesburg is massive in size, by the way. It runs from Orange Farm in the south all the way to Midrand in the north. And it runs from Mogale City in the west, so which is round about where Leretong Hospital is, all the way to Ikuruleni, which is, the border is pretty much around where Eastgate is, just further from Eastgate before the airport. So in terms of scope for Johannesburg, that's really the size of Johannesburg as a metropolitan municipality.
And how many metropolitan municipalities do we have countrywide?
We have six of them. As per the Demarcation Board website, you have Johannesburg, Tshwane, which is Pretoria, Itekwini, Durban, Nelson Mandela, Metropolitan Bay, and you have Cape Town, and one other, which is Mangaung, Bloemfontein.
Mm-hmm. And then what then becomes the difference between a metropolitan municipality and a normal one in terms of how they operate?
Metropolitan municipalities have a lot more authority in terms of the way they function and so on. They also have, for example, I guess one example is Ria Vaya. There's legislation that allows metropolitan municipalities to run rapid bus transport systems like Ria Vaya, for example, and get national funding for that. Local government entities and your district municipalities don't have that level of independence to be able to function in the way that metropolitan municipalities have. So, you know, I'm not very afraid with the major details around it, but in general it relates to the level of authority that they have in terms of functionality, the different entities within the municipality that they have. It's also around scope. So the Municipal Demarcations Board has a one of the purposes of their mandate is to determine the capacity within a municipality to be self-sufficient and to be functional in a sense without national support or provincial support. And the Municipal Demarcations Board does studies between elections that's an input into the demarcation process and to determine whether certain municipalities are actually defunct entities or unsustainable. And some of the conflict that we've seen within municipalities, you know, Vuwani could be an example that's in recent memory, was around municipal demarcations. You know, that whole, you know, the school burning and so on in Vuwani related to an unhappiness around one side being demarcated or consolidated into another municipality relating to the issue of unsustainability.
Yeah, that was something similar that took place with Mudval, right? Mohamed, are you still there?
I'm still here, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay, so Mudval, I think we could speak to the issue of gerrymandering. You know, so gerrymandering, it's well and good saying independence, not that municipal boundaries should be demarcated in a way where it doesn't favor any particular group or party or and so on. But I think with Mudval, we know that there's a specific gerrymandering purpose around this, and you know, it's around the world. It's not unusual to South Africa. It's usual around the world as part of the political process that municipalities or parties and so on will put in requests for borders to be changed to a certain extent that favors them. And then it's the purpose of the demarcation board to determine whether that's a real request in terms of an actual need within the municipality, or whether there's other motives behind it. So there were changes for Johannesburg, for example, as well. One ward is the ward that my parents live in, which was extended to include a few areas around it. And there are, you know, once the major borders have been established around the wards, then on an ongoing basis, the changes aren't major. You don't get a major overhaul as we did in 1999-2000.
Okay, Mohammed. Jazakallah so much for your time this morning. Much appreciated.
Jazakallah khair and enjoy the rainy weather.
You too. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
That was Mohammed Kaji, the executive director of ASRI, giving us some perspective there on how the wards are demarcated. And it's interesting to learn these things, and we should, you know. We cannot be oblivious to all of these things because it has an impact on the way that, on the quality of our life within our respective areas.